So in beginning this particular homily, I do feel as though I want to preface my homily with some comments about how difficult sometimes it can be to have to preach. And I have to admit, it's not something I always look forward to, because it's hard sometimes to preach without in some way possibly offending someone or hurting someone, which is never the intention up here. Because there are people who have done some things that have wounded themselves. Like one simple example, like if I talk, for example, about abortion from up here, it's very possible that there may be men and women who have had abortions, and it's going to hurt a little bit. And that makes it difficult then, because on the other side of that whole docket is people we want to deter from doing that, because the culture's saying, hey, it's legal, go ahead, have at it. And there's this sort of crowd mentality, the groupthink, that says, yeah, this is okay, go ahead. And so it becomes necessary in some ways for the preacher to help people think about this, you know, sharpen their conscience and make some good judgments about how they live their lives. And I just mention this because it's never the intention from up here to in any way hurt anyone. And in fact, if you do experience that, come and see one of us priests here. We want to assure you of God's mercy after you've repented and come back to Him. He does forgive and He heals. He heals. And He wants you back. It's not like you are excluded by any means. Not at all. And in fact, the Word of God is called a two-edged sword, which means it doesn't just cut your way. There's a blade coming back at me. I'm cut as well by the Word. See, and that's the thing. I mean, when I'm preaching and preparing my homilies, I'm trying to hear the Word of God, and it's convicting me too. So I just mention this by way of helping you understand that on the one hand, it's not anyone's intention, certainly not mine, to hurt anyone if you have done something that has wounded you. And yet on the other side of that, the wounds of those who have done something, should those silence the preacher? I don't think so. I think we need to be able to get the word out there so that people can avoid these things and not themselves be hurt as well. So, having said that, I would never come to any homily like this. That's just not me, okay? Now, but if you do have that coming at you, that's our Lord. He can do what He wants, okay? I don't think He usually does either, but sometimes He does. Maybe He will. But it's not my intention. I never would come at you like that. So, just so you have that understanding, I'm here to help. This is the household of God. We have some people, we're all trying to get to the second floor, third floor. We're trying to get up there where we belong. And that's what this is about. Now today we have in the homily, I really want to take as my springboard this very simple statement of John, St. John. And he just says it so simply, the love of God is this, keep His commandments. That's how we show our love for God. God loves us, certainly. He demonstrates His love to us. How do we show our love for Him? Well, John tells us, keep His commandments. What are the commandments? There's 10 of them. Moses gave us 10 commandments. And the 10 commandments, you and I seeking to live those and live by those, that's how we show our love for God. And he even says that these commandments are not burdensome, and especially not now, they're not burdensome because The Holy Spirit has come upon us, and that's the good news of today's feast. You have the baptism of Jesus as this is the Son of God going into the waters and cleansing the entire earth. He created this earth, and he's going now down into the waters. 71% of this entire earth is covered with water. And he goes down into those waters, purifying the entire earth. And while he's coming up, the Holy Spirit descends upon him and floods his humanity with the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened to us on our baptism. We were flooded with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Ten Commandments, these are empty letters. That's what they are. They are empty letters that affect in you and I what they are, which is empty. They just say, thou shalt not, don't do this. It's about justice. What is due to God, the first three commandments? What is due to God in justice? And to my neighbor, the next seven commandments, starting with mom and dad, I shouldn't lie to you, I shouldn't steal from you, I don't want to jerk you around or covet your wife or covet your things. All of this, God and neighbor, the whole law is summarized in those two tablets now given us in the Holy Spirit by which we are empowered to live them. But by themselves, they're an empty letter. The Ten Commandments will render you like an empty glass. That's what they'll do. If all you're going to do is keep the Ten Commandments, you're simply going to end up empty. But I'm going to tell you right now, if you want a glass of milk, let's say I have a gallon of milk here. Hey, would you like some milk? Sure. Here you go, right there. I'm pouring it right here on the floor. There's your milk. What a mess. Now I got spilled milk. You need the glass. If there's no glass, where can God pour his Holy Spirit? Where can he pour out his Holy Spirit upon you if you've broken the glass by breaking his Ten Commandments? I mean, he's not going to pour it in. And besides, when you break the Ten Commandments, you're not empty. You become filled with yourself. And there's no room for the Holy Spirit. See, this is the thing. So, for example, let's take one of them, the sixth commandment. That's kind of the one that has all the forbidden fruit taken off of it. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That takes in all the other things too, like fornication, masturbation, all these other things. But let's say we have a crisis in our church, for example, of vocations to the priesthood. Can we realistically speak to young men about the Catholic priesthood, which has a requirement of celibacy, if the young men have possibly been active sexually since the age of 13 or 14? I'm here to just say, I'm saying it's not impossible, but it really becomes more difficult. It gets difficult. It's hard. And I'm not saying that's the only reason we have a crisis of vocations in the Catholic Church or the priesthood, because I know God's calling them. He wants us. He wants priests. He's trying to raise up priests. Where are they all? I'm not saying that's the only reason, but I'm just saying, that's at least a contributing factor. Or here's another one, like let's say the third commandment, keep holy the Sabbath. So keep holy the Sabbath, that means what you're doing right now. You've come to church and This is worshiping God. It's not a suggestion that you worship God, it's a requirement. Thou shalt worship and keep holy the Lord's day by worshiping him and adoring him. That's a commandment. And it's like, wow, see, that's what justice is. It's a precept. So I'm at home and it's Sunday morning. It's about maybe 9:30. The alarm goes off and I look at the clock and I go, nah, not today. Not today. I'm not getting up today. I'm too tired to go to Mass. And I roll over and I go back to bed. I'm violating the third commandment there. And as a result of that, I'm allowing my weakness to rule the day. Because that is weakness. I'm too tired. My body doesn't want to go into the shower and get dressed and drive to the church. I don't want to do that. Okay. Now, the other possibility here is what Jesus called for, which is, unless you deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. So I wake up, that alarm goes off, I look at the clock, oh, I'm not up to this today. But I get up, I deny myself, I drag myself to the shower, I'm taking the shower, I get in the car, I drive to church. You want to know what's going to happen? You have emptied yourself, and he's going to fill you here with his Holy Spirit. See, this is the good news, is now we're not just left an empty glass. He actually pours it in. And he says it pours it in your lap, overflowing in abundance. This is what happens today with the baptism. Jesus is, in our humanity, he's flooded with the Holy Spirit. And see, when you come through that door, justice got you here. I owe it to God. I got to worship him. I'd rather that I did it out of love, but I'm not up to the journey today. Justice will do. Justice will do. And when you go through that door, I can guarantee you, you will leave here in love. Because he's going to work on you. You come here and he works on you, but not only that, from this altar he fills you with the Holy Spirit. When you stay home, you stay empty. And after a while you say, this religion thing is boring. I don't want anything to do with this. Yeah, because all you are is an empty glass. That's not a very, wow, what a prospect for life that is, huh? So, you see what I'm saying here? When you get through that door, if justice gets you here, Jesus can bless you, sanctify you, make you holy, fill you, nourish you, and you become a filled vessel walking out, and you're able to even be a glass of milk for everybody else out there. And that's the good news. That's what he's doing with us. But it does require this first level of following and expressing our love for God by keeping his commandments. That's only the beginning. Because as you fall in love, you not only do it because you have to, but you actually start running in his direction. I remember my first year as a Catholic priest, I taught at our Catholic high school. It was a prep school and a boarding school. And I had the junior morality class. And they said, Father Dan, why don't you make Mass optional here at the prep, and then when we go, we'll go because we want to, not because we have to. And I looked at him, I said, yeah, right, okay, so a Catholic boarding school with optional Mass, how's that sound? You know? And he said, no, that doesn't sound too good, Father Dan. I said, no, you're right, I mean, it doesn't. Justice gets you in the door for you to fall in love. That's how it works. All of us start somewhere. And if justice gets you there, let it be. That's the denial of self. to then allow him to come in. And as you fall in more and more in love, these commandments aren't even burdensome. In fact, you start leaving them behind because love doesn't only go the 1 mile the law requires, it goes 2 miles. And I'm starting to lay it down to where there's love. Wow. He had nothing to gain for himself by going to the cross. It was all for you and I. That's what he did. Because the law will only accuse you when you do wrong. And what Jesus did was he didn't come to take away the law and its accusation of us when we do wrong. He came to take the accusation away. He took on himself our failure to fulfill the Ten Commandments and all the offenses that we accrued over centuries against God. He took all that on so that we would go free and start to try to live these with our tank full of the Holy Spirit. This is the good news, brothers and sisters. And goodness, all it does is grow in you and accrue, and it builds, and you get momentum going that way, and before you know it, you're running on the way of salvation. So let's be encouraged today by this feast. This is the feast. Jesus went down into the waters, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And that's what happened on the day of your baptism. He comes to fill you with his love.